talking about the blood of Jesus, miracles start happening. The blood of Jesus is something else, y'all. But in his blood is the life. The blood is the life. Everybody say, the blood is the life. Yeah, Jesus himself preached that, quoting the psalmist. He's like, the blood is the life. The life is in the blood. It's like, okay, if it's got a body, the body has to have blood in it. Today, as we drink this thing together, we're saying that his blood is our life, that his life is our life, and that we have no life outside of his life. Hell is about to start trembling. You guys ready? Everybody do it. Go. You hear that, devil? This blood has overcome you in the name of Jesus. Boom. Well, get your daily swig of King Jesus right here. Hello, Amen. Everybody. Blessing and peace on you guys. Welcome to episode number 86 of The Pulse. Today, my very special guest that I will be introducing in just a few moments is my good friend Joseph Z. He's going to be with us and you don't want to miss this. And we're going to be fielding questions and answers today. We got a lot of things to talk to you about, but don't forget to like this. Don't forget to share this. Don't forget to smash the button, ring the bell, do the thing and get it out there and help us, guys, by being a media missionary. I'm your host, and I'm Troy Brewer, and I'm the senior pastor here at Open Door Church and the director of Answer International and Troy Brewer Ministries and the Open Door Food Bank. And I co-labor with my beautiful bride at sparkworldwide.org and a host of other things that we have our kingdom fingers into today. And today I'm going to be talking to you about, you know, we talk about rescue all the time, and I want to start right off the bat with something. But y'all know that we have over 51, and I say, when I say over, it's because at different times of the year, there are some of our rescue centers are open and some of them are not, depending on which regions they're in. And there's a bunch of secret squirrel stuff that goes with that, but let's just call it 51 rescue centers. And our 51 rescue centers have over 4,000 children that we've rescued out of sexual slavery that we're taking care of right now. We literally have rescues daily. I talked to Swanami this morning. We have a little girl that we just now rescued, and I don't even know what her name is or what her age is yet. But I do know for a fact that we have a little boy that we're going to be getting today, and we got a little girl yesterday, but we haven't got the report yet on how she's doing or what her story is. We just know that one of our rescuers like, yay, guys, we got one. And then we talked to a prosecuting attorney in Central America, and she's like, hey, I'm about to send a little boy to you that we just now rescued. This is what we do. This is how we do it. And then once we get them into the house, you know what? We got to take care of them. And then all kinds of stuff comes up. So, Taylor, I don't know. Do we have is it a video or is it a? Okay, so this is actually last night at one of our rescue centers. This kid just goes walking past, and he's just like, wait, stop. Stop. Now he looks like a typical woke young man. You know, he's wearing a mask. He's walking around just looking for opportunity.
Why is he wearing a mask?
Something up. Exactly right. And then the Joker comes back, and for no reason whatsoever,
what?
He just begins to smash out all the windows
of
our van that is so desperately needed.
Wow.
I mean, this van hauls our kids back and forth to the doctor. This van hauls our kids back and forth here. And he's just going to go about so typical Democrat woke, even though that is not America. That looks like an Antifa punk. It looks like whatever. Well, guys, we go through this kind of stuff like literally every single day with all of our stuff, because there's a lot of demonic forces that fight us, and just for no reason. Like, how dare you rescue kids? How dare you do that? How dare you provide shelter? Hey, listen, I want to ask you, would you please consider helping me? Because today we have a bunch of extra expenses that I have found out about, including this one I just now showed you, to get the windshield replaced and to get all the windows replaced. Every single one of the windows have to be replaced up on that one van, and it's the only van we have at this one secret rescue center. It's around $3,000. You know, that's what it costs. Hey, would you please prayerfully consider helping me today with that and with so many other things? Guys, you can call 877-413-0888. Don't worry, we're not discouraged. I mean, I promise you, if that's the worst thing that happens today, this is a good day. It's no big deal. But it's just a little glimpse into the life of what it's like to rescue rescuers, to rescue kids, and then to teach nations how to rescue kids. And it is every single day, it's a rodeo. Hallelujah. So call the number, call 877-413-0888 and stand with us today. All right, joining me directly across here, Miss
Hello.
Pris, how are you doing?
Miss Pris, I like it.
You like that?
I like it.
So we had the big double date last night. It was actually a quadruple date. That we had
fun.
Last night. That was a lot of fun. And you guys came out to Big Time Glenrose, Texas.
Beautiful. And, it was beautiful out there. It was so much fun.
We had a blast. You guys didn't leave until like 11:30 last night.
Yeah.
And then it was a long drive home.
It was. And then for some reason, my kids woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. So I took a 2-hour nap basically last night.
Way to go, Supermom.
Ready to go.
Way to go,
man. Like, why 4 a.m. on this day? I don't know, but you know, it's okay.
I'm excited about having Joseph with us today.
Me too.
He's been with me all week.
And you come on. Him up even later, I
and
heard.
And this dude.
I love being with you, man.
Don't you wish, Joseph, everybody could have been a fly on the wall and heard the conversation we had last night?
It was so epic. I mean, we went like from the beginning to the end and everything
Joseph
in between.
Joseph.
Oh, wow. Brother. Yep. It was great. We talked about. Well, we really talked about the origins of the Celestial Punks and where they come from.
That's right.
The Celestial Punks. I love it.
That's exactly right.
It was awesome, man.
Yeah, we went through the whole deal. We went through Genesis 3, 6, and 10, and then we went into the Book of Revelation. We talked about the principle of the jailbreak that they absolutely believe in.
Come on, Troy.
We went through the legal aspects of it and the kingdom, what God sees and what God has decided in his holiness he will not see, and then how he gets to see. We went through all those things. Crazy
well,
cool
it
stuff.
Answers so many questions. It fills in blanks. It actually creates a tapestry that really makes it available for people to understand what's really going on.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think needs to go mainstream in a healthy way to help people really go, that's why God allowed all that crazy stuff in the Old Testament. That's why there was violence like that in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, that's why Jesus had to do what he had to do and the way he did it. It was awesome, Troy.
We're going to have to spend some time talking about that.
We are, brother.
It's going to be good.
It's going to help people.
Zach Rippey's good to have you with me here today, sir.
Hey, it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me. And I think it's always so funny when you have kingdom friends. It's like you think you're going to spend time together talking about all these other things, but then you just talk about God the whole time.
Like, yes.
I love that. I do that with my best friends too. And I'm like, man, have we talked about any? We should talk about basketball. Now we talk about the Lord.
It's all Jesus.
I know. It's so good.
That's amazing.
Well, whenever we're all together, there's a lot of life in the room. And whenever we're all together, everybody's bouncing stuff off of each other. We're like, you know what? I needed that language. Oh my gosh, it makes so much sense. Hey, bust out a Bible. I'm going to read that for myself. Oh my gosh, I see it now.
Still and, a nerd in the word.
Still I'm a nerd, in the word.
I like it. Yeah, I heard one of your videos, watching one of your videos in this morning. You were talking about how the first couple of years that you were saved, you just were a big time word nerd.
Yep.
Brother.
Come on.
I want to tell you, if you look up that in the dictionary, my picture was there. I was
word
a freak.
Nerd.
I'm talking about a freak, man. Yep. And I got on everybody's nerves going, what is this? How does that work? And they're like, you know, we really don't even look into those things. Those things are just too weird. And I'm like, no, that's my jam.
That's my jam.
Yeah.
The word nerd. I love it.
The word nerd.
Yeah. I love the nuggets of scripture that you can find in there too, because it just goes so deep, you know, and especially the revelations that the Lord gives you sometimes where you're like, it gets confirmed when you bring it up to somebody that's like a spiritual leader. You
it's
know?
Meant to do that. You know, when people say, look, I'm depressed at life. I have this going on. It's so challenging. You know, and you ask them, are you praying? Are you reading your Bible all the time? Well, no. Well, then you're supposed to be depressed. You're supposed to be miserable. And life's difficult enough when you do read the Bible and go through it. But if you'll read that Bible until it starts talking back to you, that's called revelation. And revelation is revealed knowledge to your spirit that starts waking up in your soul. And your soul starts saying, what's going on? Something's knocking on the door of my intellect. I don't understand this, but revelation's like, here I am. And it comes from the word of God. That's the place and the origin of revelation. And that's why you get hungry for this stuff. You read it until it starts talking back to you, infecting your soul, affecting your decisions, and ultimately showing you things that people just don't know about.
Wow. Well, the word of God is awesome, and one of the things that it does is it divides soul and spirit, because our soul has to be bishoped, and the word of God will come in and go, hey, that's just a soul thing. The spirit of God will come in and just clean all that up.
That's so good, Troy.
And so you got to have the word of God. That's what you have to have. Well, it's good to have you cats with us today. What do we need to tell everybody before me and this cat gets started?
I know. You guys, I just know this is going to be one of those shows where they are, again, just on a roll, and I'm excited because we got so many questions from you, and again, I just want to encourage you, if you have questions for Pastor Troy or Joseph Z, submit them on here, and we're going to be tracking. Zach and I and Rebecca is over here on the sidelines. We're going to be tracking and taking all your questions and trying to get to as many as we can. So that is first step. Second of all, obviously, if you want to give, there are many ways that you can get involved and join the fight with what we are doing right now. Be a media missionary. First of all, click like, share this right now, wherever you're watching this, share this across those platforms. But if you want to get involved, maybe God's put on your heart. I believe, Pastor Troy, you said $3,000 is what we need to replace that van. I believe we can raise that with our Pulse family. Come on now.
Yeah, we can.
We've got people from all over the world, which I know Zach's going to tell us in a second where we have everyone watching from. But we can raise that today, and I believe we can do that. So if you want to get involved, call the number on your screen, 877-413-0888. Go to odx.tv to give. Click on give right there. Or you can mail to P.O. Box 3775 Burleson, Texas 76097. So all the ways that you can give, guys. And we've just got a lot going on tonight here in the Open Door campus. We got Joseph Z preaching tonight.
Oh, man.
At the service. We've got our New Beginnings conference coming up, and registration is open for that. We want to encourage you. I mean, if you are watching right now, then you know what is going to, a little taste of what is going to happen at this New Beginnings conference, and it's going to be incredible. So I want to encourage you to sign up for that.
Yeah.
ASAP.
And then everybody that gives today, we're giving away a little bit of an extra blessing today if you call the number. And then also we're going to be doing some special shout outs from Pastor Troy to those that give. We have a little connection going on with that with our call center today. So be one of those people so we can really shout you out. But for those that already commented their location, we appreciate you doing that. It really helps the channel and lets us see where we're reaching all across the world. So we appreciate you. We got Robin Day from Arizona, who also submitted a great question we're excited to get to. So thank you for being here with us. We got Tammy from Sherman, Texas. We got Amy from Wisconsin. Ella from Kentucky, Arletta from Franklin, Tennessee. Check out Highbrow Coffee if you're ever in the area.
It's a beautiful spot.
We got Daryl and Judy from South Carolina. We got Eden from Canada. We got Sarah, which means princess in the Bible, from Wyoming. Ooh. And we got Brittany from Boyd, Texas. We got Bob from Chicago, but he's actually in town joining us in Texas. So hopefully you make it to the service tonight, Mr. Bob. And we got Pablo from Argentina. Thanks for being here with us again, Pablo. We love seeing you in here. And we got Janice from Virginia. We got Lisa from Illinois. We got Kim from my hometown of Florida, and we got Mia from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Joe Biden stomping ground. Sorry about that. And then we have Leah from Jasper, Alabama, where Troy just did a conference not too long ago. And then we got Charles Jones tuning in from the Home Depot.
Outstanding.
That's cool.
I just saw that Monica said on there, she loves that I do social media and all that, but that she wished I would do a weekly show where people could just ask questions. Guys, this is your chance.
This is it.
And right not only here. Me, but also Joseph Z is here with me today, and we're about to fire off into it. I'm going to say one more time that at the beginning of this, we showed a video and we also showed some pictures of one of our rescue centers was attacked in just a random way last night. Now, I don't know if these were cartel guys, if it's Antifa punks, if it's just daddyless boys walking around that don't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
But they busted out all the windshield and all of the windows on our vans and one of our 51 rescue centers. And we're having to make some adjustments today. If you would like to get in and if you would like to help me with that. And again, I want to just say this. This is not a crisis. This happens every day. And I just never say anything about it. And I was thinking today, I think I need to tell y'all about these kinds of things because it's a big part of rescuing and raising kids is every day you get phone calls and every day there's something to take care of. And so if you would like to help us with that, just call 877-413-0888.
Amen.
And stand with us today. All right. Joseph Z, you ready to get off into these questions,
Let's
man?
Let's go, brother. This is awesome.
Okay. So I know that I'm going to start off with you. I know that you have some questions on here. We're going to be fielding questions from Jennifer Wyatt, somebody who calls himself Waylon Jennings, somebody calls himself Willie Nelson.
Uh-oh.
Not sure who that could be.
Lindsay from California, Robin Day, who I would imagine I will see her this weekend because she lives near Mesa, Arizona. She's a huge part of ODX, and I'm going to be in Mesa this coming Sunday preaching at Vita Church.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
So I tell you what, let's get off into it.
Yeah.
So what do you got, Lady Bug?
Let's do it. Okay, I'm going to start with Lindsay from California because I actually know her, and she has been asking me to ask you, Pastor Troy, and I'm like, this is the perfect time. So the Lord has been waking her up every day at 3:30 a.m. And she just, you know, it's one of those things. It's like she knows it's not an accident. Every time she looks at her clock, it's 3:30. What does
She's
that
one
mean?
One of those.
One of those.
One of those weirdos.
One of those weirdos. Yeah. That's part of our tribe.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that weirdness. Okay, so anytime if I don't know what if I don't know what a number is, the first thing, the simplest thing to do is simply look up the scriptures that coordinate with it. And the first thing I think of whenever you say 330 is that there's not going to be, but just a couple of verses in the entire Bible that is chapter 3, verse 30. So I know that we have prepared some, and that's the first thing. We did this about 10 minutes before we started here.
John 3:30.
Yeah, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's a good word.
It is a good word.
That's a really good word.
John the Baptist, man.
And so it's like God Almighty is increasing in your life. You know what? It comes with the price of you giving up your life.
Oh, man.
Aren't I?
Yeah, you lay it down, he'll pick it up. You know, would you think about that? The whole concept of scripture is that verse right there for the believer, that when you lay it down and you begin to pour things out before the Lord, David did it in the cave, he poured it up before the Lord.
Oh, that's
when
right.
You put your life down, God will pick it up. He can make something out of you when you'll just lay it down before him. I think that's profound, what God's saying to this person.
Okay, yeah. I would run with that. I would run with that all day long. You could also, you know, stick with the number 33. I know what the number 33 represents, and we could talk about that all morning.
But Trey, I got to say something.
What?
This is great.
What?
I have people contact me about numbers all the time, and I've just got this response. I say, what do you think? I'm Troy Brewer.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
33 is, you know, anyway, I'm about to start going down that whole rabbit trail.
A little teeny, teeny bit of 33. Can you?
Yeah, no, I can. I most certainly can. So when I look at 33, when you look at the number 30, okay, it represents priesthood and it represents entering into priesthood. You had to be 30 years old to be that. Jesus is 33 when he finishes his earthly work. Okay, he's 33 years old.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah. So
that's strong.
So 33 has to do with finishing a work in priesthood. So it's like, okay, so it has to do with finishing assignments. I got a whole bunch of examples of 33 in my book, but it's like finishing assignments. When the Lord's talking to you about, hey, you have a whole bunch of assignments going on and you need to finish these things.
Finish the last thing God's going to do.
Why are you crying?
Because I'm not a crier. No,
whatever.
Because she, I'm not, but I know her and she's a new believer and God is bringing her to what I believe is the end of a season.
Okay. Can I just prophetically speak off into that, all that? Cause I don't have a clue who this is.
Yeah.
You haven't told me who this is.
No. Uh-uh.
I don't know who this is. Okay. So here's the deal. 33 is when you finish some things, and I want to just say this, okay? And I wasn't going to say this, but it's painful.
Yeah.
It's like really painful.
It's hard for her to give up because it's been something that she thought her whole life she was moving towards something, and now her priorities have shifted because she's a believer now and like an on fire, wild, crazy for Jesus believer.
Okay, the upgrade happens by your submission to that, and that goes perfectly with the he has become more and more and I have to become less and less.
Wow.
Yeah. If he who will lose his life will gain it.
That's right.
If you gain your life, you're losing the things of this world. But I just got to tell you, when you give up, you go up. That's that's the door of transition. When you start letting go,
give up, go up.
It's a promotion. There's a death like when a seed dies, right? It goes in the ground.
Yep.
Seeds die when they go in the ground. We don't know the whole understanding of why they come alive and how they come back and turn into something new. But this sounds like a metamorphosis. Mm. Like they're letting go, they're giving up, there's a death in it, but there's going to be a resurrection of greater grace and greater glory.
It's good.
Yeah.
Guys, if you're just now tuning in, guys, we're fielding questions and answers today with my good friend, Brother Joseph Z. And we are also letting people know about just some of the daily things we have to mess with every single day in taking care of kids all throughout the world. And imagine, guys, this has been going on for 30 years. Now, look, you know what it's like raising your kids, and you know what it's like, the daily challenges you have with your own kids. Imagine, you know, rescuing 11,000 kids and raising them over a period of 30 years. And all the teams that go with it, and 51 rescue homes, and the drama that goes with those rescue homes sometimes. And I'm going to tell you this, when I start working with a ministry and that rescue home gets dramatic, this brother moves on.
Oh, yeah.
I move on. Like, y'all can have your drama.
Save the drama for
and your mess, yeah. And you can have that, because I want to tell you, I'm in it for the long haul.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm in this for the long haul. And so I want to show you guys a couple of pictures. I got these pictures this morning. some knucklehead goes up to one of our homes and just busts a piece, all of our windshields on one of our vans that we move our rescue girls around.
What a demon.
And yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like a dinosaur track on that other window.
It does.
But it's like, why would you do something like that? Well, just because, guys, there's just a lot of warfare that goes on. It actually looks like they've been driving Highway 67 to Glen Rose, Texas, and they got behind a rock truck.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, man. You know what? You drove out there last night. And
I
you saw that
every time I get in Leanna's car, her windshield is cracked, and I'm like, man. And you guys said it's because driving in Glen Rose. So we were careful the whole way.
It's those rock trucks, man. It's those dadgum rock trucks, and so anyway, it's like impossible to drive 67 every day without getting your windshield cracked. And so I mean, we go through windshields like you cannot believe,
man.
In this case, in this situation, we just have these attacks that just come against us, and then they call us and are freaked out over it, and oh my, and we're like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're going to help you. It's no big deal.
No big deal.
So go get it fixed. Go get it fixed. So guys, if you guys would like to stand with me, call this number. Call 877-413-0888. I have a whole team full of people that are standing by right now to take care of people that want to stand with us.
That is awesome. I
encourage you guys to do that. Thank you.
I'll tell you, when you're partnering in this type of ministry, you do that kind of thing, you're giving right to Jesus's heart. I'll tell you, you step into this. When demons come along and they work through one of their little free moral agents that's submitted to them, and they start throwing stones and rocks at God's work, you could counter that by giving. And I'll tell you, when you give, listen, if you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit and he will begin to help your life. So I encourage you, if you'll sow into what Troy's doing, you'll sow into this van. I'm telling you, God's going to begin to bust some things out in your life. Maybe there's an attack going on in your life. You sow into this, you can't buy miracles. You can't do that kind of stuff. But if you sow into things, especially this kind of work, God will deliver you from some things that have been coming against you. I know that. That is how it is.
Everybody wants to know, boy, Troy, I've never seen anybody have such great favor on your life. Well, get involved in this.
Oh,
because
it's true.
I'm living proof that you don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer or have your act together like everybody else or whatever. But I'll tell you, if you'll take up the kingdom cause and if you'll dedicate your life to it and you'll help these people that nobody else loves.
Troy, this is pure and undefiled religion.
That's right.
You know, everybody's like, oh, religion this, religion that. But pure and undefiled religion is this. And when you get involved in that, man, there's a special grace that gets on your life, man. God is, it's awesome. It's cool being with y'all, seeing what really happens here. I'll tell you, this is ground you want to sow into because you're going to not only get a return, but you're going to propel the kingdom in a way that a lot of ministries only talk about.
Wow.
Joseph Z is here with us today, guys, and we're filled in questions. So Zach Rippey, I know that you have a question from somebody named Waylon Jennings, which, yeah, I'm sure that's the name. All right,
but it's somebody who's been watching the Pulse, so let's get to it.
All right, let's go.
All right, it says, Pastor Troy and Joseph Z, how have you built teams that believe in your bigger vision and develop spiritual leaders to sustain the legacy of your ministries?
Well, team building.
Oh,
that's great.
All right, I can talk about that all day, but You go. Okay. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Let me start with the negative first so we can land on a high note.
Yep.
The negatives have been for me, and I don't know how it is for you, Troy, but I've had an Achilles heel over the years of hiring people out of loyalty and love rather than capacity or working with people in capacity. And I've learned one of the best ways to sink a team is to just hire people because you like them.
Yep.
You know, and I've been really loyal to people. And then when they go sideways on me or things like that, then I'm like, oh, it's okay. He's not heavy, man. She's not heavy. They're my brother. They're my sister. Who cares? But the bottom line is I've learned through a lot of pain. And I know, Troy, I'm preaching to the choir with you, brother. I've learned through a lot of pain that it's time to look at people based on their capacity for Jesus. That's really loving them. Capacity determines, or their pattern determines capacity. So in other words, what they've done in the past, they're probably going to do again, and they're probably going to do again. And if they alter that capacity, or rather pattern, I should say, over time, you can begin to have them in a place that their capacity qualifies them. And I think that's important. And I've learned that. And if you're building teams, you want to glorify Jesus with that. And I've had to start learning how to remove myself from the equation and say, Lord, is this what you want? Are we hitting the target for you? And do I have the people that please you in this? And so that's been some of my wrestling match. And I've learned that through a lot of School of Hard Knocks and team building is everything. It's not a thing, it's everything. And your team will never rise to its potential. It will fall to its training. That's how I see it.
That's good.
Yeah, I call that an outreach hire. And I do lots of outreach hire. Like, okay, so like we just recently hired Zach, right? Okay, I like Zach. I want to hang out with Zach. I think Zach is a healthy guy to be around. But I told her over and over, do not hire him because I like him. He's got to bring something to the team. He's got to help me. So because I can't hang around him if I'm not paying him money.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
And but I've had to learn that, man. And I'm like so guilty of outreach hires.
Oh,
people that need a job and I hire them. People that need to be around me, so I hire them. I'm like, no, you don't pay somebody because they need to be around you. You pay somebody. The only reason anybody gets paid is because they are there to solve a problem that you cannot.
Yes, sir.
And if they don't solve the problem, you do not pay them.
I think it's
that's so hard.
I think a lot of our dysfunction in upbringing, a lot of our dysfunction is also what makes us really good. So in other words, where we're really good, where you're a great father, great leader, people gravitate to that. So then we want to fix, we want to help, we want to do things. And then team people latch onto that. And I've learned systems will save the day. That's exactly right.
Systems will save the day. And dude, I am like the antithesis of systems.
Me too.
And so I'm like the worst systems guy in the whole world, but I have to have systems people.
And you do a good job at systems. I've been here. You are a product of the product, my friend. You can tell that this ministry is run with excellence. And people think you're easy going on stuff, and you are, but you are very, very perfection, and you are on point. I love it. I love it, man.
Well, When it comes to hiring people and when it comes to those kinds of things, number one, there's the luxury of being able to hire somebody and you think it's going to solve all the problems.
Yes, sir.
And so you bring in your friends, you bring in your family, and then they turn on you.
They do.
And then they try to kill you.
And they play the fiddle.
And that's exactly right. And then you're like, okay. And you go through this unbelievable learning curve. The question is, how do you build teams and how does all that work? It turns out that one of the best things that I can do is build teams because I'm such a culture guy.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't know how to tie the culture into the team building thing. And it took me forever to be able to do that. Number one, it wasn't until just a few people a few years ago that Leanna and I had the capacity to be able to hire anybody. And I mean, we've been in ministry our entire life and it was just us.
Yeah.
And so I was late in life learning how to CEO and how to build a team.
Resources or just the...
Yeah, I didn't have the money.
Yeah.
And I really didn't... I just... Didn't have.
Just didn't have
all that change. Lack.
All that change in 2016.
You couldn't afford to pay attention.
So right. Yeah. So, but the bottom line is this. In building teams, what I find is, and when it comes to building teams, and when it comes to hiring people, and when it comes to all those kinds of things, there are a lot of people I can bless. There are a few people I can partner with.
Mm.
And a lot of people, when it comes, hey, I want to be on your team. Okay, I'll put you in a blessing position, but I'm not going to put you in a partnering position.
That's great.
Okay. And being able to look and go, okay, yeah, this guy wants me to take him all the way to the top. I really just need to bless him.
Yeah.
And that doesn't need to be a part of the team because you have to respect the team. If you constantly ruin the team by throwing a new wrench into it, you won't have a team that does anything.
Yeah.
You'll have a team that sits around and says, you have to tell me what to do from moment to moment to moment.
Yep.
And if you don't, then we won't do anything. And the reason,
order takers.
Yeah. Yep. And so you have to change that. So we have put together teams and it's been a highly relational process. And then once we got past our relational capacity to be able to bring people into those places, it became a definition of skill sets.
Mm.
And if you don't know what the definition of the skill set is, and if you don't know what the definition of the outcome it is that you want, you can't hire top level people.
That's so good. And so you have structure where you have people that hire. Do you and Leanna do all the hiring now, or do you have a system for that?
Me and Leanna do the final hiring of everybody. And that's so like when people come in at the top level, if they're like top level people, before they go to work for their people, before they go to work for whoever for.
Who are we talking about?
Let's see if we're talking about you, Rippy. They have to come work with me and Leanna for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Before they go to work. Because I'm like, okay, if you're going to be at this level, man, you need to know what my life is like. And you need to know why you're not going to be able to get a hold of me.
Yeah, that's right.
And you need to understand.
And be real secure.
And that's exactly right. And be super, super, super secure. And those kinds of things. So I don't know if that answers the question or not, but I do have an HR now.
Yeah.
Because we have five different ministries within the Open Door family of ministries.
Amazing.
And we have, you know, there's over 500 volunteers and paid staff involved in all of our rescue centers throughout the world.
That's amazing, Troy.
It's a lot, man.
It is.
It's a lot. So I do have HR. I do have a COO.
Uh-huh.
And then I have the top group is called the Brewer Group.
Uh-huh.
And it's the heads of all the different organizations And we get together every single week and then talk about hires and fires and how do you do this and how do you do that and how do we move people around. And it's a whole ministry unto itself.
I think for leaders too, you know, like yourself, of course, Troy, you got to find out what you don't do and then really either hire that or get that in a place where you step back from it. And my education has been not so much, what can I do? I've learned, oh my gosh, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. And working my place into where I stand in my strengths and I visit the things that need my attention. But if we can either hire it or put the capable people in those places, then the team can thrive. I think your insights are great. Moses, he was trying to do everything, right? Everything. Mm-hmm. And finally, his father-in-law came along and said, what you're doing is not good. This is bad. You're trying to run everything. You're a micromanager. You're doing all the things. And finally, he empowered the 70. He made things happen. And I think that is a good beginning point for leadership. When you get to that place, there's a little oh no moment if people are really like control freaks. And I don't see you that way, but some leaders are that way.
I've had those moments because frankly, I'm pretty good at a whole lot of things.
I know you are.
You're so multifaceted. I know that sounds arrogant, but I mean, I've been doing a whole lot of things for a long time.
It's true.
And I've been doing it every day, all day long. And mm-hmm. so then when you bring on somebody else, say, hey, I'll turn this over to you. And you just go, oh,
here's my child.
Okay. Here's what it really is. It's kind of like when I gave up leading worship.
Yeah.
Okay. When I gave up leading worship, it was such a hard thing for me, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you bring Pauline on board. And I promise you, I could micromanage her. It would just ball her up and make her miserable. I'm like, and then as soon as you see things that you go, I would never do that. I would never put that person on stage.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to develop somebody in this monster worldwide ministry on stage? That's not a place of development.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to be at a certain level to be able to be there. And it's like, okay, why this, why this, why that, all these kinds of things. And then you go, oh, no. That's not what I'm here to look after her for. I'm here to look after her for outcomes.
That's so good.
Because she's not going to do things the way that I do things.
Yeah, that's good.
And Troy, dude, as soon as I took my hands off of it, it went from here to there. Pauline has taken it into a much higher place than any place I ever took it.
And it's so amazing because you have to pass those tests to grow. And if you don't pass those tests, the entity doesn't grow.
You should have seen what it was like when I had to let go of the food bank. I mean, I worked at the food bank outreach every single day of my life for over 30 years.
Man.
And then I'm looking, they don't do pickups the way I do pickups. They don't do this the way I do that. They don't do the outreach the way I do it. And boom. And it's like, wait, stop. Let them have this. These are the outcomes that I want to give them. And I got to make sure that, number one, they maintain my culture.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But that does not mean that they maintain my style on everything, right?
Got it. Yeah.
And then secondly, that when I give the marks, that they meet the marks or they do it better than me. And dude, they far excelled and exceeded anything out of it. Same thing, man, with the homeless outreach.
What a reward. Man, I'll tell you, you got a huge thing going on here. So people, you know, they watch you, they see you, you know, you come in here and you get a little taste of this culture and you just keep seeing that there's, and you've already said it, but there's more and more facets to it. You got quite a machine here that God has just, has graced you with, and you have a grace to lead it. You know, I have compassion for you because our ministry, all we are is online. We're online and my employees are across the country. And there's very few of us in-house. We work, you know, remote like that, and that's how we do it. And it takes a lot. We've had to be really creative in how we manage that and keep, you know, checks and balances on things. But when I'm here and I see how you're doing this, it's just profound what God's doing. I believe next year, Open Door, all the things that are happening, should the world not be on fire and should Jesus not return, which could both happen, I got to tell you, I think next year is going to be the flagship beginning of this ministry. I think everything you've done up to this point is practice.
Wow.
And it's amazing what you've done. There's no question what has happened. Next year, it begins.
Wow.
I believe next year is the beginning of this ministry.
Come on.
I think the Lord's going to shock you. He's going to shock people. I think it's going to get significant, not just successful, but the level of significance is going to happen. And it won't just be for you and Leanna. It's going to be for those who merge and unite with you. Significance will hit their life. I believe, I prophesy, you're going to see people that are very, very wealthy, people that are very, very strong in what they do, and they've tasted success. They're good with success, but they're going to come in and lay their gifts at the feet of this ministry for significance because they want the fight inside answered and they want to finish well. And God's going to bring them here.
My goodness.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow,
guys, this is Joseph Z that is prophesying to me. And Joseph has been with me this whole week. He's got an amazing ministry, and he's prophetic. He's going to be at Open Door Church tonight. And guys, we are fielding questions with him today. You've been hanging out with me, and I've had that same prophecy given to me over and over and over again here over the past, I don't know, 6 weeks or so of 2025 is so completely different.
It's different.
It's like a new birth of your entire ministry.
It is. The hidden will be revealed. The stuff that's been under the surface, that is God's origin, his plan. It's like a time capsule that he prepared for you a long time ago, Troy. It's coming out. This whole ministry is going to feel it. There's going to be all the challenges, nothing new to that. But I'll tell you, there's going to be monster return. God's going to do something awesome.
Amen. Well,
that kind of bleeds into the next question that kind of talks about what was the moment like when you both realized that God has accelerated your ministry to more people just outside the four walls of your church?
Oh, it was very evident with me because we didn't have, I mean, we were hidden all the way up until I was 50 years old. And I went into full-time ministry when I was 19 and 2016, I turned 50. But I'd had that prophesied to me, you know, Benny Hinn actually prophesied that to me.
I've heard his name walking through this building in my spirit so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming now.
Yeah, man. Well, I ran into him. I was in Jerusalem a long time ago. And I ran into the brother, and I mean,
I got the weapon for you.
It was at the very height of his ministry, too, and I couldn't believe it. And he walked straight up to me in Jerusalem and said, are you from, he told me, young man, do you know that you have a Joshua anointing? I said, well, I'm from Joshua, Texas.
Ah,
and he's come like, on. He says he's from Joshua, Texas, and his whole posse. Yay, that's what I was doing everything. And anyway, man, he was very good to me, and he's gracious to me, and he put me and Leanna up, and it literally, he was checking in. He gave us his suite because he wanted to sow into our ministry.
Amazing.
And he told me, God's going to do this, that. You're going to have books. People are going to read your books. You're going to have a worldwide ministry. And he actually prophesied and said, the Lord is going to make you the face of redemption and freedom.
How about that?
Wow.
And I mean, I was 20, I don't know. I was in my mid-20s.
Oh, so this is back there.
Yeah. And then he says, But it shall not happen until you're 50 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, this is what I thought. What a clown, man.
What a clown. Who do you think you are?
Man.
Benny Hinn.
Don't speak that.
You know Benny Hinn.
Wow. He nailed it. He totally nailed it. So the year I turned 50 is when everything changed. I was on John Paul Jackson's show, and that put me in media. And then we started getting serious about media, and then everybody and their dog bought my book, and then Numbers That Preach kind of became a contribution to the body of Jesus, and people started adding it to their sermons and
so cool
adding it to their stuff. Yeah, it was that year.
You know, John Paul called me out when I was 15 in a meeting.
Did he really?
Called me out, prophesied to me, told me what I'd be doing, and thought, who's this crazy guy? So it's interesting that we have that connection.
That's cool.
It is cool, brother.
How about you? When did you know that your ministry had changed and that you went from one level to another level as far as impact goes?
Everybody was telling me that. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like you, Troy. I put my head down and I do what I'm supposed to do. And I try not to pay attention to applause or negative. Sometimes we get caught up in the negative, but you can also get caught up in the applause. And I was in one setting one time and the Lord met me. A couple things happened. I had a very prophetic encounter, and I know nobody here is a stranger to that, but I had this prophetic encounter where the Lord came and said, I'm going to show you something. And it was right on the heels. So I'll tell the first part, then I'll tell this part. But I'm sitting there first, and the Holy Spirit flooded the room, and I'm in this place, and he flooded the room. I'm like, oh, I worship you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. And suddenly the reverential fear and almost terror of the Lord comes over me, and I felt like I was being scooped up in the Spirit and examined. And I, to the point, I said, Lord, are we okay? Are you and I all right now? Because he's looking at me. And then all of a sudden I felt like I was put back in my seat and I'm still for a moment. And he said to me, I said, Lord, are we okay? Then he said to me, Jesus is Lord. And I'm like, yes, of course. And I said, are we good? And then all of a sudden I got a vision of the devil and I see him over there and I see him. And he's like Gollum. He's all balled up on the floor and he's kneeling down. And I'm like, what's going on? And I hear, you know, all these things, Jesus is Lord. And I see the devil and I said, Lord, what's going on with this? And I see him. And finally the Lord says to me, watch. And I see him there. And then I hear the facts. He's on his knees. He's on his knees. Look at the devil. He's on his knees. I'm like, look at that. He's bowing before King Jesus. And then I heard the words, but he has to say it. He has to say it. I thought, what am I looking at? And he said, and then I heard the devil, Jesus is Lord. I snapped out of that. And I was like, okay, sir, what's wrong? Are we okay? Shortly after that, he said, I'm going to show you something. And so you know what I'm about to tell you is real when you see it come to pass. So I'm standing there and I have a vision of a rocket shooting off the earth and it's going up and it hits the moon. And I said, okay. And I thought, am I supposed to prophesy this? He said, no, when you see that, you'll know what I'm about to tell you is real. I said, okay. And all he said to me is, if you will stay small in your own eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's what God told me.
I can really use you.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to use you.
Yeah. God told me, Troy, the smaller you get, the greater I'll use you. Going back to that 330. That
verse. Yep. Whoa.
That 330 verse. And I mean, I actually heard him say it. Troy, the smaller you get, the greater I'll use you. The smaller you get, the greater I'll really? Use you. Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, right. I had a vision of the Lord when all that took place, and I was seeking the Lord in a radical way, and was on a 40-day fast, and went out to Big Bend National Park. I was young, and I had this encounter with the Lord while I was there, and I saw the hand of God come out, and I saw these things that looked like marbles in his hand.
Really?
And when I looked at one, I could zoom in on it. It went zoomed, and it was the jawbone of a donkey. And then zoom, I went out. And then I looked at another marble in his hand, and zoom, it was a small army. And then zoom,
a small army.
Yep. Then another one was a tent peg. And I said, Lord, what are these things? And he said, the Lord spoke, and he said, these are the 9 small things in the book of Judges. Search out the matter.
Oh, wow.
And I went, okay. And then he said, Troy, the smaller you get, the greater I will use you. And so, my encounter was very much the same. And I looked them all up, and there's 9 small things in the book of Judges. So, you know, the jawbone of a donkey, you got Gideon's army. That was the army. There's the left hand of this guy. There is the
well, he's made you a judge, brother.
The tent peg
of judge.
Man. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're judge. That's what that you're a judge in the house of God.
These are the 9 small things in the book of Judges. Search out the matter. That's what he said.
How do we get smaller?
Well, you don't let things get in your heart. You, I think this sounds funny, but I think it'll make sense. I think when you're private, you need to get on your knees a lot, sincerely, and empty yourself of all the praise of man.
Ooh.
And yeah. Even the insults of man, mm-hmm. where people have insulted you.
Yep.
Both
you
are
have to
pride.
Empty yourself of that.
Both are
yeah,
pride.
There's a quote that says, if you live by the cheers, you'll die by the booze.
Wow. That's like true.
That. Yeah.
I think getting smaller means that also your agenda gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, where you just don't have a personal agenda anymore.
I like that, Troy.
And I think that's a big part of it as well.
Oh, I like that.
Guys, we're fielding questions today.
Hey,
we're
Pastor, yes? We just got a text, and I want you to take a look at it. We got some donations that rolled in. Did you see that?
Come on.
That's awesome. Okay, good.
So I've got one on here. And so, guys, we're fielding questions today, and we're also raising money today. And we're letting people know, hey, one of our places has been attacked. They're always under attack. And this is a van that we transport our rescued girls around in. Last night, these knuckleheads busted out the windows and acted a fool. It's really not that big of a deal, but it's something that we deal with every single day. And I just don't ever tell y'all about it. So I'm like, hey, stand with us. Stand with us and help us because we need to be a tribe to be able to do this. It's so much bigger than me or so much bigger than Open Door or any of us or Joseph Z.
Amen.
What's real is this is a tribe of us standing together and being the hands and feet of King Jesus. Call the number. Call 877-413-0888 like Miss Patty O'Brien in Big Time Burleson, Texas called. She called in. And she's a big giver today.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That is awesome. Also, Christy Tedesco from Georgia.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
Bobby and Tammy Bulldog from Illinois.
Wow.
And Judy Lane, another Texan.
Come on.
So I really believe that we're going to raise the money for that van today while we're on.
Amen. Come on.
Let's do it.
I got faith for that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, right on. And
I mean, do it.
And guys, these vans are crucial parts of our ministries at all these rescue homes. And I mean, because you have to take kids to school, you got to take them to karate lessons, you got to take them to soccer games. I mean, all of our kids do the stuff that kids do because they're kids.
And this is freedom for them. I mean, I remember when we were in Mexico and we gifted some girls, it wasn't that van, but it was another group in Mexico, and we gifted them a van. The look on their faces, and I know the next day they were able to take them to the beach on an outing safely, transporting them. So it's not just like, oh, yay, now they have a car. Like, this is freedom for them. This is a way to get to school safely. This is a way to go do excursions that they couldn't do safely before. Because, of course, when we get them in our homes, they've been traumatized. They've been through so much. We can't just send them out you know, and oh, go have fun without, you know, our team being supervised. Like, this is a way.
It's different.
So it's special. It's more than just a vehicle. And so I believe that we're going to be able to raise that money to get a new van or whatever we have to do. I know it was $3,000.
And we buy brand new vans.
Yeah.
We buy nice vans.
Yeah.
All of our kids. I mean, we buy the kind of vans that we would want our kids riding around in.
That's great. That's how it should be.
And and by the way, there's several of our rescue homes that are in need of vans. And I mean, they're all on the list. You know, I've got this monster list every day of things that I look at and go, okay, let's spend money on that. Let's spend money on that. Let's just depending upon our partnership is really.
That's it.
That's all it depends on.
I say it this way. We move at the speed of cash.
That's so good, man. That's really good. Well, friends, we are also fielding questions today. And if you have a question, write it down. And we're going to shotgun through a whole bunch of questions here real quick.
Yeah, okay? That's a good idea. Because we're getting more coming in. I feel like we should do rapid fire.
Okay, let's go. Rapid fire. Here we go.
All right.
Let's go on, Zach.
Let's go. Jennifer Wyant. Do you believe there will be technology when we reign with Jesus for 1,000 years?
The answer is yes. I think so. I think he's going to do the right kind of stuff. And I don't know how to get into all that in a short manner, but I think so. Yes.
I would just say shortly, all the way through the word of God, there is a true physicality to things within the spirit. There are some things, and it's variable degrees. We've talked about that.
Uh-huh.
Why would an angel need a chariot? Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, there is technology, and I think that there'll definitely be technology in the millennial reign. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Oh, I've got one from Monica Bradley that just came in a couple minutes ago. Of all of the healings I've heard about, I never hear about people being healed of dementia or Alzheimer's. Have you seen people healed of either of these?
That is a great question. I don't think I have ever heard of anybody being healed of that.
I have heard of it. There's abstract stories. I have seen that. You know what's interesting about that on a sidebar? Mm-hmm. They don't struggle with that in Russia. Like, it's very, very seldom that you see that. And they say it's dietary differences. That's just a sidebar. But the bottom line is Jesus can heal anything. Anything's easy for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the only personal story that I have of anybody being healed of dementia was temporarily my grandfather was completely healed where he was nonverbal. My papa was nonverbal. He was on his last days and he spoke to me like a grown man and like nothing was wrong with him.
Wow.
The spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Yeah.
And he actually released me of a promise that I had given him.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. And because I had promised him that I wouldn't let him die in an old folks home.
Wow.
And he was in a rehab that specifically was for Alzheimer's patients. And he had become a handful for my grandmother she couldn't take care of.
Wow.
My family rebelled against me and put him in this place. And I was like, hey, look, let's hire a 24/7 nurse. I want him to stay in my house.
Yeah.
He's my papa. Yes. And that's what I promised him I'd do. And they're like, no, and they didn't care what I thought. So there was nothing I could do about it. So I went to go bust him out. And we parked the truck out in the front, and this was in Keene, Texas. And I was going to go in there, get him out of the bed.
Taking him out.
Leanna was sitting on the truck crying, and I'm going to take him here, and we're just going to deal with the family and tell him, hey, look, we're hiring nurses. We're taking care of him here. I promised him this. And so when I went to take him to the front door, the nurse was at her station, which is right by the front door.
That's so
and
cool.
So I had to wheel around and take him into this other little place. And I was sitting there, I was looking out the window towards the car. I could see the truck and I could see Leanne out there and she was all scared. This is a long time ago. And I was like, I was sitting there and all of a sudden Papa grabbed my hand. And again, he was nonverbal.
Wow.
And he said, hey, Hoss.
Mm.
And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, do you remember that promise I made you give me that you would never let me die in an old folks home? And I said, yeah, Papa, that's what I'm here for, dude. I'm here to bust you out. Leanna's out there right now. And that's
Troy has the greatest stories I've ever heard.
He really does.
Well, Papa said to me, he said, oh, I was just scared. He goes, look at this place. He goes, I grew up in a dirt floor shack. He goes, look how nice this place is. Mm. Have you seen how pretty the nurses are here?
Oh.
He said that.
That's great.
And he goes, oh, listen, that was just being foolish. You're a good boy. You don't worry about any of that. Oh. I'm fine. And I'm not scared anymore. And I was like, Papa, that's great. I started crying. I was like, dude, I'm so stressed out. I didn't know it. And then he quit talking. And he never spoke to anybody else. And he died just a few days later.
The Lord loosened his tongue just for you.
Wow.
Jesus did that for me.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's a true story. I'll start crying.
Oh, man. Oh, you're getting me too.
That's wonderful. It's one of the nicest things Jesus has ever done for me.
Thank you,
Jesus.
It's a very nice thing he did for me.
Thank you for that, Lord.
Yep.
So the answer is yes.
Okay, yes. Amen. Shotgun.
Let's go. All right, this one's a part two from Robin Day and Daryl McCray.
Can I stop you? I saw a child get healed of Down syndrome.
What?
Really? Like their face changed?
Like 2000% change. And I had it medically verified.
What? Where? Was that in America?
That happened in Uganda, and I had a medical team with me, and Rena Kwan and Robin Kwan. Rena is a, you know, Robin Kwan's a doctor. Rena Kwan is, I don't know, some big time nurse. And
that's a and they went, miracle. Wow.
And so, yeah. And dude, I didn't even know Jesus could, I know this sounds so terrible, but I didn't know I didn't know he could do such a thing. I didn't know he would do such a thing because I love Down syndrome babies. Love them.
Oh, of course.
And so I'm like, hey man, it is what it is. And you just never thought about them actually being healed.
Yeah, I love them.
So this mama girl brought her baby to us. We were doing a medical clinic, and this mama was probably 18 years old. She had three kids. Her third kid had Down syndrome. Very obvious. And she's like, look, my kid's not doing right. I don't know what the thing is. Yeah, y'all pray for her and all this. And it rocked Rena's world, just devastated her, because it's like this poor mama girl, you know, like, oh my gosh. And she's never lived outside of her village, and she doesn't know. So we all prayed. And Robin thought about her all year long. And went, okay, I'm taking all these special things specialized for Down syndrome kids. And she brought a whole bunch of suitcases. Like, we went back to the same village. We did the same medical clinic. The little girl shows up with her babies, shows up and talking to her. And Rena says, where's the girl that, you know, we prayed for? And she said, oh, she's there. And she said, no, the little girl. And she showed her picture. She said, no, that's her. And she was running around. She no longer had Down syndrome. We're like, what happened?
Wow.
What happened? And she said, well, after y'all prayed for her, she just started getting better, you know. And we were like, what?
I want to jump on that story. Our son Daniel, he was nonverbal autistic. Nonverbal.
Whoa.
Like, he would shake in the corner. He had 12 specialists. And, you know, Heather, my wife Heather, she's ridiculous. She will not tolerate that stuff. If somebody needs healing and you stay with her long enough, they're getting better. And he couldn't speak. He shook. He did all these things. And just to make a very long story short, from prayer and going after it, today he's totally verbal. He's totally healed of that stuff. He still is different. You can tell. You know,
like, but you're different. Oh, that makes sense.
I'm so unique. It's amazing.
I mean, that makes perfect
Thank
sense.
You, Troy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he really is. He, you know, you could tell, but he can communicate. He's brilliant. He's got all these gifts going. But he was in the corner shaking, and we couldn't get him out of it. And through prayer and persistence in that prayer, he came out of it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I just thought I'd share that.
That's good stuff. I hope that encourages people, because it's so real.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, what would you say, this is so relevant, the Holy Spirit obviously moving right now. I just found out some friends of ours yesterday had their fourth child that had Down syndrome.
Mm.
So they had three babies without it, and then their fourth baby just found out Down syndrome. What would be some advice you would give them?
My advice to give them is twofold. Number one, the Lord is trusting them with that on so many different levels.
Yeah.
So many different levels.
That's good.
And I want to just say, look it up. There have been people all over the world. There's like a guy in Brazil that still has the features of Down syndrome, who gives his testimony. Look, I've been completely healed.
Whoa.
And he gives a testimony.
How wonderful. That's cool.
And he's like, yeah, man, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I'm completely healed. I got it. And he still has the features of Down syndrome. But he's completely healed. So I would say also, again, I have in rescuing kids, we've rescued so many Down syndrome kids. And I mean, I never thought about praying for them for healing. I never even thought about that. I know that sounds silly, but it never occurred to me that a healing could happen with it. I mean, I don't know why I thought that.
I think there's levels of revelation. You know, Jesus wants people healed more than we do.
Yeah, I would just say this. Number one, I would say to those parents, you didn't do anything wrong.
Amen.
This is not a curse from the Lord.
Amen.
This is what it means to be a physical human being. And when physical human beings get together and when they produce more babies, there's physical things that happen. I can also say this, that you have authority in Christ of how that can go. And that could be the most beautiful, most wonderful, most gifted child the world has ever seen on any level that you can possibly imagine. Okay. So I understand that we have some more donations. Some people.
I know.
Today.
I was just writing you a little note because I'm so encouraged to hear and see people standing with us right now. It's so exciting to see it happening in real time from our call center. We have Melissa Trujillo from Colorado, Amparo Salas from Texas, Lori Brown from Washington.
Thank you.
Cheryl Lohner from Michigan and Robert Wade from Louisiana.
You.
Thank you for partnering with us right now. You know, we said that at the beginning of the show, this would be a different show. We're taking questions live. We're fielding taking your questions live for Pastor Troy and Joseph Z, but we're also raising funds, and I believe we're going to raise enough funds to pay for this van that was vandalized last night in Mexico. And this was a van that belonged to some of our rescued girls there. And I believe God's going to like over and above. Bless it.
Amen.
Through our Pulse family.
And I'm going to say it one more time. This doesn't represent a crisis. It's really not that big of a deal. I just thought I would start telling everybody. We deal with this kind of stuff every single day.
That's so good, Troy.
And I don't think I've ever said anything like this.
We've never done something like this, it's so cool to see people.
I mean, partnering. I drive an hour in every morning and I've got an hour to be on the phone. And I get a list every single morning of the new kid that came in, what kind of surgery she needs, what kind of drug addiction she's on, the little boy that tore a new hole in the wall, who threw a fit, and the kid that went to, this happened like 2 weeks ago at one of our rescue centers, went and took every single dish out of the cat, and she just had a meltdown, a total freak out meltdown. Okay, well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's happened in my own house. Leanna's lost her mind.
I can see that. Yes. Anybody that knows Leanna, they know that's the deal. Yeah,
wow. That's part of the deal.
Of course not.
These kids have special needs, and they have to be walked through stuff. And then they're in hostile territory, and these kids have been stolen from the cartels, and the cartels have friends and minions that just torment them. Mm. And we have to constantly just put out money to take care of things. And then the van thing is such a big deal. And I just thought I'd bring it to you and just go, let's raise money and let's pay these things off and let's get these things done.
Oh, that's wonderful, man.
That's wonderful. And that's just people calling in. I mean, people could be going online and giving right now. We don't know. So, and I'm sure that they are, because a lot of people give that way.
Paul Molina today texted me early this morning and said that he was sending us $3,000 to rescue a child.
Wonderful.
So that was this morning.
That's cool.
On the way in today.
Wow.
And
wow.
I have friends that stand with us all over the world because, I mean, this is happening. We're actually doing the stuff.
And it requires people and it requires finances.
It does.
And we can't beat around the bush and act like it doesn't.
No,
it
man. Totally does. If the money was coming to me, it'd be one thing. But I'm raising money to rescue kids.
Oh man, what a!
And so I was like,
we should be shameless about this and go after it. It's
and I shouldn't have to beg for it. So I never beg for it.
Never.
I mean, have you guys ever seen me beg for money? No. I mean, I'm not begging for money. Number one, I'm not going to get up and whine before a bunch of non-givers.
No way.
They can all kiss my grits. I am never, ever, ever going to get up and beg anybody for money. And also, too, I'm the kind of guy that wants to accomplish vision, and this is so far. If I could pay for it myself, I would be doing it myself.
The bottom line is raising a vision is better than raising money.
Yeah.
And when you raise a vision, people say, my goodness, I want to be a part of that because it's actually changing lives. You know, it's the whole thing. And this really is. When people sow here, they're sowing into a vision that's changing lives real time. And a lot of ministries say things, you know, I don't like the emotional tug of some ministries, and this has an emotional tug that's awesome. But, you know, I like you, Troy, because you're not playing the Sarah McLachlan song in a kitten that's struggling in a cage.
Yeah.
It's Angel.
I know, I was kidding.
That's Willie Nelson.
You said in the arms of a stranger?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think I got this song wrong.
That was a beautiful chorus.
Can I just say this?
Beautiful chorus.
I want to put my foot through the television every time that thing comes on.
It's demonic.
I don't watch it. I did not watch it.
Why do you say that? Because you know the truth behind it?
Yeah, because the truth.
Humility. It's trash.
It's drama and it's baloney.
Yeah.
And those people don't give a rip about it. Okay. Hey, I want to ask you, thanks for saving that cat. How many kids did you save today?
That's it. Or how about the whales versus the kids? The trees versus the kids?
And it's not that I'm not for saving the whales and saving the trees. I'm all for all that. But there's always a leftist agenda behind it that is non-kingdom.
Yep.
And I can smell.
Meanwhile, they're aborting babies.
That's exactly right.
They're saving the dolphins.
They will literally go, look at my humanity and how good I am. Uh-huh. I've saved a child. And then they go and they abort their baby.
Yeah, that's right.
It's self-righteousness.
I think demonic things.
It's non-kingdom.
Demonic things will push people to love animals and despise children. Mm. It's a thing. And you know, who doesn't love animals? Wow. We're all animal people here.
Yeah.
We love dogs. We love cats. We love all of it. You know, not as much as some island people that do things. But I just really got to tell you.
Oh, my God.
Bloodletting. Thank God Jesus' blood is better than animals' blood.
I love your cat.
Yeah.
I think I shall eat it.
Tastes like chicken, I bet.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now,
All right. Well, thank you guys, our givers who are actually staying with us, and all of our tribe members all over the world. And
Rebecca just texted me, they're eating the cats.
I know. Have you seen?
They're eating the cats.
They're eating the chickens.
Have you seen? I went down a TikTok rabbit hole one day, and someone made like a song out of that. And it's like, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. And it's all these videos of dogs just like. Looking at the camera, like, and it is so funny.
It is.
I went down a dark, well, actually, it wasn't dark. It was a funny rabbit hole one day with that. But anyway, the joys of social media.
I don't know how we went there. I don't know. It didn't take much.
We're going to
continue
much.
our rapid fire questions.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
You want to go to Ask Yobi to go?
We were going to get Robin and Daryl. They kind of have a combined question, which is really great. It says, what is Pastor Troy's and Joseph Z's recommendation to prepare for the things that are to come in the technology rise? And then Daryl also asked a question that says, how does the church get networked and organized? So I feel like that's kind of like a twofold question that you can kind of unpack into one answer.
I would say that you just need to, you can no longer be ignorant. You have to be wise, because there's no stopping it. There is no stopping the technology thing. You can monitor and have a discipline in your participation of it as far as your own personal engagement, but this technology is going to engage you, whether you want it or not. When you go to the store, when you walk through the airport, I mean, I come into the country at least every single month. You're not even required to have a passport when you enter into DFW airport. You walk up and it says, thank you, Troy Brewer, you may enter. I mean, it just takes a picture of you and it lets you in.
That kind of freaked me out the first time that happened.
You did that with me, right?
Yeah, I was like, literally, he took a picture of my on his phone.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a whole nother thing. We've had other people that just literally... Hey man, you guys got anything to declare? No, we don't. Hang on, just a second. Holds up his phone and goes, "Okay, y'all are all American citizens. Go in."
Yeah, so
he literally used his phone. Yep. It scanned our faces and our passport numbers came up. So it's one thing about how this thing is going to engage you and how we're going to have to push back. It's another thing about how we just give ourselves over to it.
Yes.
And so those are two different categories.
We're all going together. Mm-hmm. One way or another, we're all going together. If Jesus doesn't return, whatever the tech is, we're all going to be faced with it. So we might as well lean into it and do what you're saying. Just be wise. Do use discernment.
Is there a way to prepare the church for things that are to come like that? No.
Because
just be in the word.
Because a lot of people think that their loyalty to Jesus is remaining in the Stone Age. Okay.
Yeah. Come on.
And so a lot of people think, since that's where they found Jesus, was in the Stone Age, the only place they continue to find him is in the Stone Age. And that's why they don't recognize new moves of God and new graces of God and new mercies of God. It's because it was defined to them by some church leaders from a long time ago. However, I want to tell you that what I see over and over and over again is I am seeing the body of Jesus wake up. And I mean, I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
And I'm very encouraged by it. I'm like, hey, we can't just, be a bump on a log anymore. We have to be actively involved in things.
Yes.
And I'm seeing it.
I think what Zach was just saying too, like, can we prepare the body? I think waking them up to their anointing, to who they are, I think that is the answer. Mm. It just is. Getting them rocking.
I'm not afraid of technology, but I know this, that it's not necessarily my friend.
Good way to put it.
So I know that it can be weaponized against me, and I know that it can also enslave me.
Yeah.
So look, I am a man that I have dedicated my entire life to rescuing kids. Mm-hmm. And if I gave myself over to pornography, I could be just as addicted to pornography as any other man that is addicted to pornography.
That's right.
I mean, it's that powerful, and all of us as flesh human beings have that kind of potential.
Absolutely.
So I surround myself with people that do not have a sexual spirit. I do not engage in any kind of sexual environments. I am adamant about I'm going to be free of those things. I tell people, and I'm transparent. I have 5 people that look at every single phone I have and all of my stuff, and I knows every single thing that comes in and everything that goes out. And I mean,
it's awesome.
You can't live in a technology world and not have that kind of transparency, that kind of accountability, and be that dogmatic. If you're kind of flippish about it,
It'll get you. I'd say we're the same. I mean, I think you're very, very adamant about it, and I love that, Troy, but we're the same. I got to tell you this, being in your ministry and in your kind of orbit, while we're here, there is such a cleanliness behind the veil, like in the spirit, just staying at some of the places that you have here and all that. I got to tell you, I woke up 3 times 2 nights ago, just woke up in the presence of God. And I had to tell my wife, I said, I've never, not even because of pre-knowledge, I've never been in an environment that is this clean in this space.
Wow.
And I've stayed a lot of places. And many times I got to lay hands on the bed. I got to lay hands on the room because, you know,
I wake up and have dreams
seeing what people were doing. I don't want that. And here, it is clean, brother. I just honestly, I compliment you and I thank everybody here because, you know, people that are highly sensitive, they might not say things, but they see it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I got to just say, this place is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I've seen that we've had some more donors and we have some different donations that's coming in. That's exciting.
It's so exciting. I love that you guys are jumping on board with us in this special episode of The Pulse. Again, we don't normally do this and continuously ask for you to partner with us throughout the show, but we just felt it on our heart. Pastor Troy really felt that he was supposed to share these pictures of what happened to one of our vehicles last night in Mexico. It got vandalized. This was a vehicle that goes to some of our rescued kids, and now it's damaged and we want to fix it. And I believe our Pulse family is going to help us do that today. We have Debbie Rhodes, Julia Fullen from Texas, Judy Carter from Texas, Cynthia Pointer from Texas. That's a big, all four from Texas that have stepped up to partner with us just in the past few minutes. That is so exciting. We are just so thankful that you guys are jumping on board and sensing the same thing that we are, that God is
I want to say something. I saw a comment. Somebody said, how do you know when you're partnering in the right place or giving or doing this or that? And they say, what ground, what seed should we sow? Where should we sow? All that kind of thing. Well, there's a big difference between sowing and throwing. Like a lot of people, they're just like, I'm just moved to do things. But when you have a connection and you're part of a tribe and you sense something that's happening in a ministry and you're sowing, it's going to be effective for you and the ministry. So you got to really, when you hear God, and I think anybody that's watching this right now, they're not here by some mistake. The devil didn't put you onto this program. And this isn't just some heart pull. If you're hearing this and your heart is tipping one way or another, and you're tipping towards, maybe I should sow into this place. You are not throwing, you're sowing. And that seed is going to return to you. It's going to return to your family. It's going to begin to break through. You're paying it forward and God will be there to meet you in your future as you sow right now.
So I think
it's important.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Right on. And just within the past few minutes, man, we've had $1,433 given, which is great. So thanks,
guys. That's wonderful.
So we're very, very grateful for that.
Thank you so much.
Halfway there.
Right on, man.
Let's go.
All right. So you guys have another question for me.
You can get one.
Okay.
You had one.
Okay. Let me pull it up because this was one that I kept seeing and I was like, I really want to get to this. This is from Janice Harry for Joseph Z. I've heard you say delayed obedience is disobedience. Is it pointless for us to try to obey later, or can there be redemption of that delay?
Absolutely, there can be redemption of that delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I think that's true when you know God's speaking to you. Now, there's one thing when you don't know what to do and you're trying to measure it. I get that. You go to counsel, you get wisdom. Yeah. I think that's wise. But if you know God told you to do something, I've had people try to come to me and they're like, I'm over here. I'm doing this thing. You know, God told me I needed to do this or go be a part of that ministry and do it. God told me, but you know, I'm just kind of working it through. Would you pray for me? Would you do this? And how do I, you know, what do I, when do I know? And I just say, you lost me at God told me. What are you talking about? If God told you, the conversation's over. You figure out every available means for you to get there. And I think it's this revelation, interpretation, application. Some people get a revelation and they run off, but it's better to get a revelation, interpret that thing through the mouth of two or three witnesses, people you trust, people you listen to, get in the peace of God. But then application is where many people lose when God tells them to do something. They know God told them. They kind of understand what they're supposed to do. They got a witness about it now, but then they have either really bad common sense and they just do stupid stuff. So it's important to have good common sense. Do the numbers match? Is it good? You know, and just, I think a good guideline is revelation, interpretation, application to get to your destination.
Yeah. The response is everything.
Yeah.
And you can repent but there's no telling what you lost before you repent. Okay. So you can't have my repentance later is part of my game plan of delay. But once, if you're genuine, just like our friend who just wrote in, asked this question, went, look, I delayed it. I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Is there repentance in this? Absolutely there is. Men repent and jump back in there and see what the Lord does.
That's right.
And let's go.
And God in his redemptive abilities, he can, and I'm telling you, this is a word for a lot of people right now. He can make plan B so good that you forget about plan A. Mm. He can do that, and he will do that for you. But it really does take a sincerity, and you got to be willing to do the work and line up with that word.
I am seeing, $200 givers, $300 givers, $100 givers.
Thank you, Jesus.
A bunch of $50 and $25 givers. Guys, thank y'all so much for loving people that you don't know. Thank you. You know what, man? Wow. The quality of life that we give our rescued kids all over the planet is such a big deal. These vans are a really big deal. Again, we're not in a crisis. Things are good, but every day there's a big battle. And I just thought I would share one of those battles with you. A simple battle of some knucklehead coming in to destroying all the windshields and the windows of our vans for our rescue girls. This is the kind of stuff, man, that we deal with every single day. And I want to tell you, this is the reason why most people who get into this bail very quickly.
Yeah.
Is because it's a never-ending money pit.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, and you have to not care and you have to not be offended at that. So you guys are indeed helping me. Yeah, so we got a couple more questions here. So what do you have?
I think this is great because we talk about this a lot. We kind of emphasized this yesterday. I have two pastors. This is from Madeline Keys. I have two pastors tell me that my husband and I need to find our people in our tribe. I'm praying about this, but I haven't heard anything yet. How do you find your people or your tribe? And you wouldn't have any insight to help?
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't go?
Sure. finding your people, finding your tribe really is, you know, one of the markers I use, and it's really simple, is you really can't say the right thing to the wrong people. You'll know if people are dedicated to misunderstanding you. You'll know you're not in the right culture. But when you're with the right people, it seems like you just can't say really the wrong thing to the right people. They get your heart. They know who you are. And I look at it as, you know, when you're with the right people, they celebrate you. They don't tolerate you. You know, I like being with Troy. He tolerates me, but we still hang out a little bit. But the truth is, when you're with the right people, it just works. And it's not perfection. If you're looking for perfection from a tribe, forget that. It's like that old adage. If you find the perfect church, don't go there because it won't be perfect anymore. And the bottom line is, if you'll just begin to follow the Lord, and a lot of people, they chase their success rather than their calling. And when they chase their success first, they move their kids across the country for a job. They do something because, oh, it's so lucrative. It's good for the kids and all this stuff. But they don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then suddenly all these other things are not added unto them. And later on down the road, there's a whole mess. They've missed windows. They misunderstanding. They might even have money and resources what they're looking for, but they no longer have their tribe. And so they're disjointed in the body. So you got to seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and God will start bringing those people in your pathway.
And that was very well said.
It was okay.
See, no, I gotta find my tribe.
I've heard him say better.
No, that's really good. Also, to piggyback off of what you said, understanding like your assignment, and again, not just chasing the success or chasing what seems to be success.
It's a big deal
because to me, like for my husband and I, we have always asked ourselves, no matter how much success we are experiencing in a season, is our assignment still there? And when we were living in California, we were, at the height of success in many ways. You know, I was like working on all these TV shows. His side business was taking off. Like all these things were happening and we were in a great place. But all of a sudden we felt like the grace for that season had shifted and we're like, is God moving our assignment? And it didn't sense.
Transitional.
But our assignment had changed. And that assignment led us, you know, ultimately here to this tribe. So, you know, we made a stop in between, but I think God sometimes is shifting your assignment and that assignment can lead you to your tribe. And you have to be open and
Keys,
listening.
You hear that? That was for you, Madeline.
Come on.
That was for Madeline.
Well, you know, a lot of people, I want to make a comment. This is important too. A lot of people get into fasting, right? And I am so for that. I think it's powerful, but people are like, I'm going to fast. I'm going to get these answers. I'm going to move God. He's going to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, God has already moved. And when you fast, you're not moving God. You're moving you. We're getting our carnality out of the way to get under what his word is sure. What he's saying is true. It's like what 1 John chapter 4, what it talks about. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. But if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. God never moves in some of these areas. So when we move us by getting our flesh under control, then suddenly we're in line with what he has. It gets clear. He's talking, but God's always speaking. It's just our ability to hear him and listen. Fasting sharpens that.
Man, you were talking about this transitional grace, you know, and the importance of understanding transitional grace, the power to be able to move when God wants you to move, because sometimes God Almighty will have you at the top of your game, like he had you, Shay, when you were living in LA and being the Miss LA chick, and you were so good at it. And then all of a sudden, because you love Jesus and because you are a Jesus girl, you're such a Jesus girl, you're like, you know what? I don't feel like we have a grace for this. And suddenly it becomes dangerous. The place where you are dangerous becomes dangerous to you if you cannot operate within a transitional grace.
What quote?
And I want to, I'm telling you this right now. Wow. I've flown in that. I have lived my whole life flowing and God going, switch. And I go, okay, switch. Okay, let's go. Switch. Yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And then every single time you switch, I want to tell you what happens. The people that you were with are no longer around you. Mm-hmm. And then how you build that tribe, if I can speak into this, because come on, this Troy. Is a big deal. When you switch, the people who are at this is what I've learned. If you're going to grow and grow and grow, and if you're going to grow at an accelerated rate, you have to be very okay with the people around you are not going to grow at that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're either going to stay... I'm staying back for the sake of helping everybody at this, my immediate friends and my immediate family and those people I do life with. Mm-hmm. I'm either not going to move into the thing that God wants for me so that I can hang around them, or I'm going to move into this thing and say, it's on you to step up and to go with me into this place.
That's right.
And that is very difficult. If you really love people. And I mean, Jesus himself, I mean, he did that. And he said, who is my father or who is my mother and my brothers and my sisters? But those who do the will of the Father, doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He's like, I was with them. I love them. I respect them. But I've moved on.
Yep.
And tell them they need to catch up. They don't get to automatically come to the front of the line anymore.
Man.
Like, whoa. Okay, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
Well,
that is tough. So in building your tribe, also, if I can keep speaking into that for just a second. So whenever you see the man of God stand up and Ezekiel gets literally sucked up into a tornado, Jesus grabs him by the lock of his hair.
He's a gentleman.
Oh, my God. Everybody thinks that Jesus is so nice, and he's not. And it makes people so mad when
you
say Jesus.
I love that quote of yours.
Look at how many millions of views I've had and the hate that I get from it. You're blasphemous. You don't know Jesus. Jesus is nice. And I'm like, you got a rude awakening coming. Because there's going to be a day he's going to show up. He's not going to be nice. He's just going to be holy.
Yes.
And he's going to show up for you the way that an ambulance driver shows up. And it's not going to be nice.
Yeah.
He's going to start shoving needles into your arm.
Montreal.
And he is going to start telling you what to do. And he's going to throw your body around. And he's going to make you do this and do that and do that. And he's there to save your life.
Man.
Because he is kind and he loves you. But he doesn't have to be nice. So... when God was not nice to Ezekiel, sucked him up into a whirlwind, took him to the river Chebar, where the Bible says he sat stonied for 5 days, which is one of my favorite King James words, stonied. It just literally means he just sat there for 5 days or 7 days and just it couldn't do anything or say anything.
It's the modern day word shooketh. For those listening.
So anyway, whenever he spoke and when God Almighty said, can these dry bones live? Which that's a really funny thing to me, because if I landed in a bunch of skeletons and God says, you better get this question right. I would want to get that question right. Looking around at all those other skeletons thinking these guys missed, you know, they didn't answer right. So this is his answer. You tell me, thou knowest, oh Lord. I mean, that's the King James. Thou knowest.
I'm not
trying to come up with an answer here. I'm here to hear what your answer is. And I'm going to get with that program. Then he hears the rattling, right? And the first thing that comes together is those bones come together. They're
strong.
All there.
Oh, that's strong.
And then the first thing is the sinew forms.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was a heart or a brain or a muscle, it was the connectors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a place where everything connects. That was the most important on the agenda of God before he formed lungs, before he formed a brain, before he formed a heart, was to make sure that these connections have to be made in the body of Jesus concerning a kingdom venture.
Excellent.
They're going to get up and they're going to fight.
That's excellent.
And I think that a lot of times there's just not enough fight in our churches and in our networks to be able to recognize who are the tribe that will actually connect to do those kinds of things.
Boy, that's excellent, Troy. You know, one more quick piece to add.
Very well said.
So well
thank
said.
You. You're back in the wheel.
Well said. Isaiah 119, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
It's good.
If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. And a lot of people get it mixed up. So in other words, you have to be willing and obedient. And so when we're talking about building going forward, people have to be internal and external. Obedience is external performance. Willingness is how you really feel on the inside about a matter. And that matters to God. So if you get it mixed up and you're not, if you're obedient, doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons, means you're not willing. And if you start doing that, I got to tell you, God will begin to put it in order if you're willing and obedient. So when people really want to find their tribe, find their destiny, they got to be willing and obedient to do what God called them to do with the people he called them to be with.
Outstanding.
That's all right. So good. That's so good.
I'm blessed to be a part of this tribe. Just want to come out here and say,
yeah, this is my tribe.
Smash your thumbs up if you like.
This is a good tribe we have here.
It's a good tribe.
It's a good tribe.
It is. It is a good tribe. I mean, we all get to live incredible lives, and we're part of something that is so honorable, and it all glorifies King Jesus.
Yeah.
And none of us have to be perfect.
Uh-uh.
I'm the guy that sets that tone and sets that culture. Nobody's got to be perfect. Everybody's got to work
and
their
I
butt
love
off.
That,
but nobody's got to be perfect.
I love that. This
you
is not
be real.
Yes. This is real Christianity. This is real life. This is not perfect. This is not with a bow on top. This is not unrealistic expectations of how people live life. That's what this tribe is. You get real and messy and wonderful in all of those ways, but it's real.
Yeah.
You know, it's so good.
Fleshy religion won't last long in this culture you destroy. It dies here.
It'll die, or it'll just walk out the door. It'll just leave.
It'll leave, and then it gets on the internet and says all kinds. Those people are this, that, because they're so offended and so mad that we didn't have a little religion party for them. We're just not interested in it.
They're carnal. They're carnal. You know, carnality is a way of thinking that's against the word of God. That's what carnal is.
Yeah.
It's a way of, it's a mindset. It says to be carnally minded is death.
So, yeah.
And, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. John 6:63, my words are spirit, right?
That's right.
So to be carnally minded means that you're against the things of God in the word of God. You're not submitted. And that's where people get offended.
Okay, Ladybug, we've been talking to Joseph Z here for over an hour and 21 minutes.
And
it's about to be 2:22 p.m.
Oh,
2:22 is after you. As soon as it comes on here, we'll all just celebrate. It's 2:22.
That's one of my numbers, man. Okay,
Before we celebrate that, let's celebrate the donations that have come in just over the past couple minutes. We had an anonymous gift. We had Mary Mimura from California, Paula from Texas.
Bless
you guys. I also saw some coming through on YouTube, some anonymous ones coming through on YouTube. So that is just really exciting. Thank you to everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 2:22 right now. Let's celebrate.
Come on. Let's go.
Acts 2:22, man. It's a really big deal. Signs, miracles, and wonders.
Let's go.
In Jesus' name.
That's what's going to happen tonight.
Amen.
That is what's going to happen tonight. We have Joseph Z preaching in the house.
Yes, ma'am.
At Open Door Church. It's going to be incredible. You're preaching on the spirit of the Antichrist. Isn't that what you said?
That's right. Defeating it.
Wow. Defeating it. Okay. That's going to be incredible.
In the middle of a dark world, one church will stand up to defeat it all.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. And obviously, Pastor Troy, you're going to be here. And I'm always just so excited. I love to see how the two of you kind of piggyback off of each other prophetically. So
we got the prophetic thing. I look at Troy and I'm like, hey, you're good. How am I?
Yeah.
Wow. Whatever, man.
Awesome.
Whatever, man.
It's going to be great.
It has been, he's going to be leaving tonight after church. He's going to be going back to the Springs tomorrow. And then you're going to be in Missouri, I think.
Yeah. We'll go to Missouri.
And then, where are you going to be at in Missouri?
I'm going to be in Perryville, Missouri, Pastor Kent Ward's church. He's got two campuses. I've been going there every year annually for a while. He's great.
Perryville, Missouri is where you're going to be at this weekend at a church called what?
It's called Overcomers Church International.
Overcomers Church International. Yeah. So all of our friends that are in the Show Me State, go out there and go find this brother. I am going to be in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I'm going to be at Vita Church is where I'm going to be with our good friend Benjamin Diaz. You've been to that church, right?
Oh, I love that church.
He's in Mesa, Arizona, I believe he is.
He did my daughter's wedding.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. No way. And years ago, he was like, man, you've got to meet Troy Brewer. You got to meet Troy Brewer. I'm like, I love his name already. And so
I like him because he raises turtles. I just think it's so cool. He's got those big old box desert turtles, man.
That's cool.
I think it's so cool, man. And so anyway, I'm going to be at his church this coming Sunday. Brian Schwartz is going to be with us here at Open Door Church.
Yes.
NFL football player, prophetic voice, pastor on staff here. And he's going to be here with the Open Door Tribe.
There we go. Sunday.
Come on.
But there he has a longer beard now, unless he shaved for Sunday. We'll see.
You know, man, you know what that was? Puberty was giving him a hard time. And there he is. He's extraordinary.
Yeah. Great.
And he's a lot of fun. Played with the Jacksonville Jags, and he is a prophetic voice into my life and one of my great counselors and part of my pastoral council. And he's here. And then I'm going to see you in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, brother.
Oh, yeah.
This is wild.
So should we tell everybody
what could possibly go wrong? I love it.
So you're the one that did this. You did this for me because we were supposed to be in North Carolina and we were going to have an opportunity to actually meet with President Trump.
That's right.
And then the opportunity changed.
It changed.
And so we're like, well, that's okay.
It's okay.
I mean, you know.
They had good meetings out there. Good things happen. Yeah. But I feel something good about this. And so we're going to go and be with President Trump.
Yeah, he invited us and his team invited us and invited us to come and actually be with him on Monday in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's great. Now, the fact that we've said that, this could end up going international, just so you know, people really look for that. The Wicked Lizard Overlord guy and the other guy, they're going to go and meet with the president. So I just really do believe, though, it's going
to
be important.
Hey, man, if Kamala wanted to meet me,
I would love for her to meet. I personally would like a front row seat for her to meet you.
I would meet her in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I sure would.
The first thing you could say is shake her hand and say, come out. It'd be great.
I just want to say, I feel like this is a perfect time for us to throw this out there. That election night, we don't have a graphic for yet because it is very early stages, but we decided yesterday that we need to do like a whole election night, a special episode of The Pulse Live. We're going to be hanging out.
Yep. Yeah. Zach is going to be here. You're going to be here. We're going to bring in a bunch of friends. We've got people in and out.
All of our ODX
team. I'm going to see if you'll pipe in.
Oh, brother.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going to talk to
party.
Do it. Yeah. I'm going to call in a whole bunch of friends and see if they'll break in.
It'll
tell us
great.
What they think. Tell us what they see. And we'll put together a schedule of people.
Awesome.
And we'll do a 4 or 5 hour election party.
Yeah.
We'll bring in food. We'll eat in front of everybody.
Tell some of those jokes we know.
It's going to be fun. Great. Maybe sleeping bags and pillows. I don't know how long the night's going to go.
Jesus.
But it's going to be great. It's going to be so fun. And so you guys are the first to know. Again, we literally came up with this idea yesterday, so we haven't even fully formulated it. But, you know, you mentioned Trump, so I'm like, I feel like we need to just tell them, get ready.
Yeah.
This is where you're going to want to hang out with your Pulse family on election night. It's going to be good. We're going to be tracking everything, but also giving the prophetic take on it, which is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. So guys, be in prayer for us and be watching us and pay attention to what all is going on and keep on jumping in. Guys, I want to say, Zach Rippey, it's so good to have you with me today, buddy.
Yeah, man, this was a fun one. I was blessed by this. I was just soaking in the wisdom from both of y'all. So thank y'all for answering those questions.
Rebecca is just off camera right over there. She's manning the phones.
Yes.
Hey, I want to say a great big thank you to everybody that donated and gave today.
Yes.
Thank you. That stand with our ministry, all thank of our stage you. 2 and stage 3 partners. Wow. Love you guys. Guys, we're doing it. The Spirit of the Lord is moving. Shay, it was so good to have you with me today.
Good to be here as always. It's fun.
Joseph Z, it was great to have you with me today,
sir. What a privilege, sincerely.
I will see you again tonight, and you'll actually, I'm going to have you up there on the stage tonight. You're going to preach at Open Door Church.
Oh, what an honor. I was telling my audience about it too. I was like, you got to come to Open Door. So thank you, sir.
All right. Well, guys, listen, I'm going to let you guys go. Is it all right with y'all if I just close this up?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, you're the boss.
Friends, I'm going to go ahead and close this up and just tell you this. Look, I started this program off an hour and a half ago telling you that we had to deal with some busted windshields and things. And again, it's no big deal. It's just something we have to deal with every single day. Every day we deal with something has happened at one of our rescue homes. And I want to just talk. I want to tell you how I actually think about this. I don't think, oh man, not again, not another thing. I constantly think, yeah, that's what happens. It's kind of like raising kids, you know, which is what we're doing. And there's always messes involved in it. And I think that I'll end just by telling you this. You can't be discouraged over the challenges and the things that happen with life. I don't know who this guy was or why he would do something like that. He might have just had a demon and he's just an opportunist and he's looking for that thing today. All he needs is a daddy or for a grown man to take a ball bat to him. That's all he needs.
My God.
Hallelujah.
A little high touch.
Wow.
There's high touch beats high tech, wow, brother.
Why did y'all jump back in here? I was finishing at the end of a monologue.
You pulled us off the bleachers, man.
I did not.
Okay, sorry. And we'll be quiet.
Can we have quiet on the set here while I'm finishing my ending monologue here?
Baseball bat.
So it's no big
I was just trying to cue you where you were. Okay. Mute me.
It's no big deal. It's really not. And there's no reason for you to get upset over the stupidity of people or the destruction that the enemy brings or people that partner with him. Here's what I would say to this. Just don't partner with it and overcome evil with the goodness of God and do it every single day. You don't get a day off from overcoming evil. You overcome evil every single day of the week. Which means you need to hear God speak. It means that you need to be a bad motor scooter. It means that you need to be empowered. You need to be full of Holy Spirit. You need to be around people that are life-giving, and you need to be plugged into life-giving things. Unplug from everything that is not life-giving. As people are inviting you to be a part of their demonic drama, and a lot of that is they need a lot of drama so that they can hide their wickedness and they can hide their darkness, don't participate in any of that. Be a part of passion, a passion for Jesus instead of drama that comes from the flesh. And then just overcome things and just say, it's no big deal. I'm just going to overcome it. Guys, I hope that blesses you. It's part of my day every single day. And I know it's a part of your day. And I'm going to let you guys go. I hope to see you here tonight at Open Door Church. Thank you so much for praying with us. Thank you so much, guys, for standing with us. And until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.